afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're all having a great Tuesday. Hope you all get to watch the Brewers pull it out in extra innings. And I hope you are devouring the Cheesehead TV 2025 NFL Draft Guide. That's right, it has arrived after months of toil by people way more talented and smarter than myself. We have arrived at that moment where the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide is available for purchase. There is a link in the description of this video. Absolutely phenomenal stuff from Al and his crew. Every year, it seems, they make it better and bigger and just more engaging than the last. This year is no different. It's kind of crazy to think it's been, what, 15 years we've been doing this now? It's kind of insane, but as I say all the time, it's outstanding work from everybody involved. You got plenty of time between now and the draft to bone up and be the smartest person in the room while you're watching the draft with your Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. Available right now, like I said, link in the description of this video. All sorts of goodness there. We've got a top 100 board, mock drafts, people who will definitely not be Green Bay Packers because of whatever testing traits they may have gone through during the draft season. All the nerds behind the scenes, they do all that work so you don't have to, you know, and you can just sit in and kind of pore over who might be available to the Green Bay Packers when they select both at 23 and the remainder of the draft. Do it, people. Hop on board. Available right now. Link in the description of this video. Do it, folks. Hello, everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Dennis chopping it up with everybody. Chuck Olson, right at the top. What? This is outstanding. Earworm for today, in the living years from Mike and the Mechanics. I don't pick them, they pick me. Can I tell you, I absolutely adore that song. That is a phenomenal pull, sir. Well done. And now I'm going to go listen to it as soon as we're done here. Ryan, starting us off with a super chat. How are you, Ryan? NFL putting three games on Christmas. We should ask the NBA if they need any cheese with that line. I mean, it's pretty clear, right? Especially after last year's kind of dipping the toe in the water with multiple games, they certainly have arrived at the point where, I mean, hell, they put games on Christmas on a Wednesday. The NFL did. Should have known right then and there that they were there to stay on Christmas Day. The NBA can step aside. No doubt there will still be interesting games for the NBA and fans of the NBA to watch, but they are now setting off to make Christmas, much like Thanksgiving has been for decades, a day of NFL football. And I did see, I believe it was the Chiefs, have lobbied the league to become a permanent part of the Christmas tradition, much like the Lions and Cowboys have been throughout the years on Thanksgiving. The Chiefs offering up to be regulars on Christmas. I don't ever want to hear the Packers off. Man. It's hard enough watching the Packers play on Thanksgiving, and we've certainly seen the Packers play on Christmas a couple of times here in the last, you know, 5-6 years. I don't mind the games on Christmas. I do not like when the Packers play on Christmas. I would much rather be not invested in the outcome of a football game on Christmas Day. Thanksgiving, I can make it work, and especially they played Thanksgiving night this last year. I actually kind of liked that because you have your day, you know, in the morning, watch that first game in Detroit, get stuffed with your turkey, then you take your little nap, and then you have the night game. I'm down with that. Even if the Packers are on Thanksgiving, if it's at night, I can handle it. But yeah, Christmas Day, I'm too tightly wound during Packers games to be enjoying anything on Christmas because the whole time I'm waiting for the game to start. And then the game happens, and hopefully they win. But there's always the possibility they could lose, and then that's going to ruin my Christmas. So, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Packers on Christmas Day, but NFL on Christmas, I'm in. I'll watch. I'll love it. And, you know, I hope you're all up to date on your streaming services because two of those games are on Netflix, and the final one is on Amazon. So it is a brave new world. No question about it. Oh, no. Aaron, I got audio issues. Audio issues, people. Oh, I know what it is. Hold on.
Audio issues. How's that? See, that's what happens when you have signal, but not the right signal. But now we got signal. So that's what I'm talking about. Christmas Day, football. I guess I can handle it. I guess I can get used to it. I guess it's here to stay, so I might as well get used to it. But yeah, with the Packers on Christmas, it's just not my thing. I Thanksgiving, I'll deal with. But yeah, Packers on Christmas Day. Not a huge fan. But, you know, I know the NFL does not care one bit what I say. So that is what it is. Rye, this is a great question, man. Is LaFleur being purposely coy when he talks about how he defines play action? He dismissed Love turning his back to the defense as play action in his season-ending presser. I've been wanting to talk to him about this all offseason, and hopefully at some point I'll be able to do so, because I have the exact same question. It does feel like he's being purposely coy and being a bit facetious when he talks about the definitions of play action and what they consider one to be and not the other. And it really felt like a way to kind of dismiss, I believe it was Ryan Wood's question at the time, without having to really kind of dig into it and answer. No, I'm sorry, it was Tom. It was Silverstein. To not really have to dig into answering that question in public, which is fine. It's his prerogative, and I kind of understand it. Because I do think it gets back to this idea that Jordan Love was dealing with that knee, and they were trying to be cognizant of it, and probably a lot of what they were doing offensively was designed around trying to keep him comfortable. And, you know, I don't think they'd ever own up to it, but I think they were not fans of having him push out from under center as much as he did back in 2023. That's all guesswork on my part. And all that to say, I'm with you. I thought that was interesting only because usually when he's asked a football question like that, he's very forthcoming, right? And he does kind of love delving into those details. But in that answer, he seemed very, I don't want to say evasive, because he talked about it and the differences and things like that, especially the stuff from the shotgun versus under center. But it did feel like he didn't really get into it in a meaningful way, in a football sense, in a way that he has on plenty of other football topics. So I'm with you, man. I thought he was purposely kind of evading things there. What else we got here, folks? J-Rock, how you doing, man? Wicks and Dobbs were rumored in trades this year. Do the Packers tell the players when rumors start, especially if they are not true? Not necessarily, J-Rock. I get the question. You know, you got to remember, all that stuff, I mean, rumors, some of it's reporting, right? Especially around the combine, there were reports that Dobbs or Wicks were in conversations to be traded, etc. I do not doubt for a moment that, you know, Brian and the personnel folks and Matt and the coaching staff, their doors are open, so to speak, and they can, you know, talk to them if they want to. The players can, I mean. But there's also, you know, there's weird kind of rules about what you can talk to guys about and when you can reach out to them. So it's not like they can be incredibly proactive if the guys aren't in the building. And even when you're in the building, you're only allowed to talk to them about certain stuff, et cetera. This is all because of the CBA and the NFLPA wanting to separate the offseason from, you know, the offseason program work and things like that. But, you know, I know, for instance, Brian said he had extensive talks with Josh Jacobs both before what he said at the Super Bowl and after, right? So I do think, you know, if these guys are worried about anything, they're most likely going to talk to their agents, and the agents will most likely bring those things up to Brian or whoever they're talking to in the personnel group. I don't think they're proactive about it, because everybody knows it's a business. If your name gets mentioned, well, yeah, it's a possibility. You might get traded. Welcome to the NFL. But I do think they try to keep their doors open as possible for those kind of conversations. Yeah. Joe, how are you, man? I wonder if the Chiefs have asked their players if they want to have to play on Christmas every year. Joe, I would tend to doubt it, and I don't think they much care. How's that? It ain't show friends, it's show business. What else we got? Oh, Mick, interesting question. Will coaching changes affect penalties and or drops? Well, there haven't been too many coaching changes on the offensive side. I mean, I think there was a what do you call it? Oh God, what's the phrase? The lowest level of on the staff. God, oh, quality control. God, I don't know why I couldn't remember that phrasing for a second. I think there was a change there, but for the most part, most of that staff on the offensive side has stayed intact. Obviously, on the defensive side, there was a pretty major shakeup. But there has been a transient nature, as there is every offseason, of guys coming and going. I don't think it's a huge kind of component to any of the issues they had in regards to drops specifically. I do think most of that, and it's what Matt alluded to yesterday in the coach's breakfast, a lot of that is down to focus on the player's part, right? Now, you can drill it, and you can emphasize it, and do all the things that coaches want to do when it comes to the drops, but ultimately, it's down to the players. They're the ones who got to make it work. You know, Jimmy Robinson is the greatest wide receivers coach I think I've ever seen the Packers have in my time on this earth. And even he got frustrated at times with guys like James Jones or Donald Lee having drops. And I remember him just blowing up on dudes on the sideline. But it's part of the game. And as a coach, that's what can become so frustrating, right? Because you do all these things. You do try to make it a point of emphasis. You do harp on it practice after practice after practice. And then you go out there and those guys still have drops. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, coach, you can change coaches. You can change your routines and what have you. But it comes down to the players. And they're the ones that have to focus. And they're the ones who have to execute. What else we got here, folks? Ed, how are you, man? So after a couple or two, has anyone in management started a rumor as a practical joke? Not that I know of, Ed. I mean, these guys love playing pranks, though. But, yeah, no, not that I'm aware of. That'd be a good question for somebody, though. Jennifer, how are you? Thanks for checking out the stream. Do you think Rodgers will retire? I don't, actually. I know it's definitely seems like a possibility at this point, right? The longer this drags on, the longer that he's not in the fold, so to speak, with the Steelers, it sure feels like, yeah, it's a decent possibility, but I don't think he will. I think he doesn't want to go out the way it kind of looks like he went out with New York, right? I mean, what a failed experiment. And he did play noticeably better down the stretch last year, the kind of last month plus of the season, right? And I think in his mind, give him a full year, especially if he is able to land with the Steelers, they've got some serious downfield weapons. And I don't think, you know, yes, I think it's an outside possibility that that's a roster that could make a run, right? A realistic run for a Super Bowl. I don't think most people would be picking them for obvious reasons, but you know, that's an outside chance. So that gives him that motivation. But I also think, again, with the weapons at his disposal, he could really put up some serious numbers. And Rodgers has always been very cognizant of his stats and of his standings as far as records go and his place in the record books. You give him another year, maybe even two in Pittsburgh with those guys to throw to, DK Metcalf, Pickens, etc. I mean, he could put up some serious numbers and that would bring him up the leaderboard, so to speak, on some of these all-time lists. And yes, I 100% think that's on his mind. I don't think it's the driving force. I don't think it's the reason, but I absolutely think it's part of it. You know, I've seen the guy way too long throughout his career, you know, out of nowhere, be able to pull off, you know, out of thin air, out of his top of his head, stats either from that week, that game, that year, years past, his place in the pantheon of great quarterbacks, etc. He knows all that. He's very cognizant. You know, and that is not a slight on Aaron Rodgers for all the Rodgers stands out there, because I know they're all big fans of this channel. It's not a slight on Aaron at all, but it is how his head works, how his brain works. We have seen that over the course of the last 18 years. So I do think that's on his mind, you know? And I'll put this out there as well. I also would not be surprised if this waiting game continues on throughout the summer, because there's still an outside chance he lands in Minnesota. I don't think that door is closed. I know they've talked about moving on and JJ's their guy, all that, I get it. But it doesn't feel like it. And it doesn't feel like that episode is over yet. So we'll see what happens throughout the summer. Come to the training camp. Maybe by then he's locked and loaded and ready to go in Pittsburgh, etc. But I do still think that's a possibility. Ryan, how are you, man? The tush push is already banned. They don't enforce the rule. See, I've got this is the second time I've gotten this today. That is not correct, Ryan. They changed the language of the rule that you were referring to about 5 years ago in regards to the aiding an offensive player, pushing him from behind. They took that language out, which is something Rich McKay talked about yesterday, part of the competition committee, when he spoke about the fact that they regret now that move because it has opened the door for this play. And I don't doubt for a moment that there the maybe surprising number of teams you've seen kind of jump on board the Packers side of things here are probably in that group as well, saying we should never have gone down this road, right? But those that rule was changed. I want to say 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, but that is not a rule on the books anymore. And I know a lot of old heads think it is because we all know the Ice Bowl or seen putting his arms up. So he's showing the refs because everyone initially thinks, oh, he's signaling touchdown. No, he's showing the refs he's not aiding Star into the end zone. It's an old school rule that was on the books for decades until about 5 years ago. Brandy, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. Not sure on Halfley yet. He got McKinney and that helped him a lot. Thoughts? Ooh, Brandy coming in hot on the defensive coordinator. Now I know we're cooking in the offseason. I don't know, Brandy. I think you look at what he did throughout the season, given who was in and out throughout the year, most notably Jaire Alexander, but also having to deal with guys like Edgerrin Cooper and then Quay Walker being in and out of the lineup weeks on end, and then having to deal with a cascading effect of injuries in the secondary, I thought he did pretty damn well. I mean, yes, no question about it. McKinney certainly helps. But it's real hard for me not to be kind of very excited looking at what Halfley did last year with, you know, minimal kind of pass rush from his main front four. Yeah, I was very impressed by the work he did. Now, has he arrived? No, should we crown him? Absolutely not. A lot of work left to do. But if I'm looking at last year and everything he had to deal with, and as while dealing with that, being as productive as they were and ranking as high as they did in a number of different categories, I'm pretty excited. Now, there were certainly bumpy moments. No one will ever want to go back and revisit the end of that Bears game in Lambeau. Certainly, they're teachable moments. The cover zero all-out blitz call against the Eagles, that was so obvious that everyone could see it coming, including the quarterback who changed the play and made it real simple for Dallas Goedert to get into the end zone. Moments like that are teachable, right? And you're a first-year defensive coordinator in the NFL. You're gonna take your lumps. But by and large, I don't know, Brandy. I'm in on Halfley. But like I said, I get the trepidation, especially from you. That is who you are. So cautious optimism. Let's go with that one. Rai, that's interesting. Could LaFleur successfully call the defense for a game? I want to ask him that question. I think he could up to a point, right? I think if we're talking like vanilla stuff in a preseason game, yeah, probably. I think if you got into regular season mode where people are really game planning it up and are kind of calling stuff to really take advantage of personnel and down a distance and tendencies and things like that, I think he'd struggle. I think he'd probably agree with that assessment, but it has a great idea though, like having, seeing how they would do switching, right? But I think it's a fun exercise. New York Cheese said, this is the truest chat I've ever gotten. Twitter going to blow up no matter who they pick. 100% correct. And by blow up, you could mean positive. Probably negative, but could be positive. But no matter what happens, Twitter will blow up. That is true. McKnight says McKinney did not move the defense to top 10. Maybe not on his own, but he certainly helped. I mean, Do you think that's a top 10 defense back there if Darnell Savage is still in the house? Dubious. Very dubious. How good are the defensive assistants? If they are good, Matt LaFleur would have no problem. I mean, that's fair enough as far as the same thing that happens on the headset, right, in games while calling the offensive plays. If it's a party line and everyone's giving off suggestions, etc. Yeah, there's a decent job. Brett, do you need Rodgers in Minnesota for the storylines like you need air? Maybe not quite that bad, but I do think it would be a ton of fun. I mean, those two games would just be worth every moment on this earth, I'll tell you that. But yeah, I mean, if it happens, it'll be great. I'm not going to lose sleep if it doesn't, though. Let's put it that way. Brandy, I think you're maybe a little alone on this one. Brandy says, I love to watch the emotional version of LaFleur when the cameras cut to him. Good football. I mean, it's nice to see a coach showing emotion. I do think sometimes it's maybe a little overboard, but you can't fault the guy for being passionate about his gig. That's for damn sure. John Dale, how are you, man? Has Jordan Love talked about his injuries from last season and how it affected him? We need the QB from Dallas playoff game back. I mean, he has a little bit. I know he discussed it at the Super Bowl, I think with both Kay Adams and the folks at ESPN. Just saying that, you know, yeah, he wasn't 100%, but no one really cares. You got to play, and you got to play through pain, and that's the league. No one's really 100% once the season starts. So, you know, he's acknowledged it. And he knows. I mean, there ain't no one on this earth that knows how much more consistent and productive he needs to be than Jordan Love himself. You know, he is very, very aware. Please don't remind me of Darnell Savage. I apologize. I very much apologize. But it has to be said, you know, I mean, that's the comparison. If you're looking at him, that's where it resides, right? That same defense, you just switch that one position, and I think it changes just a little bit. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Remember, the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide, available. Link in the description of this video. Get yours right now. And then, have a great night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Go Pack, go.